All right, so, Natalie, you're becoming a recurring guest for the show. Do you remember what it was like the first time you got on stage and told your story in front of strangers?
Absolutely terrifying, yeah. I think a lot back to that show just because we did a lot of work to make sure it was really relevant to the people around us, and that involved inviting tons and tons of people from our high school, West, as well as other high schools around Anchorage. And it was incredibly weird to look out into the audience and see my classmates and also know I was going to be telling my classmates some of my most private moments. Yeah, what about you?
Yeah. Well, for me, I was also very, very nervous. I remember for an hour backstage, thinking of all the different exits and all the ways that I could leave the building in case I needed to. There's the back door, through the bathroom window, and even just a bold move of just running through the crowd and going throughout the front exit. But I remember once I was out there, all of the practice and all the work that we did with MHATS really prepared me well to be able to tell my story, even to a group of strangers.
So what's it like telling it now in front of people?
Well, still nauseating, but I feel a lot more prepared. The more practice allows me to be able to tell it with more confidence, but still it's a mental health story, and whenever somebody new is hearing it, it's still a little nerve-wracking because it's a very personal subject.
Yeah, honestly for me, oh, weird feedback. Honestly for me, it's important that it remains a little bit scary. I never want to tell my story and have it be completely non-scary, because I also want to remember what's like for anyone who's coming forward and saying maybe to someone for the first time, I'm struggling with this mental health condition, or I haven't felt good about myself for weeks. And so I never really want my story to be something I tell lightly.
I can get behind that. That's how I feel about my stuff with StoryWorks. So do you think it's easier to talk about mental struggles in front of audience of people that you may or may not know, or is an intimate setting with someone you know and trust more difficult?
I would say that an intimate setting would probably be a lot more difficult for me, because they're not just looking at you, a person who has dealt with something, telling a story. They're also looking at you and how they know you, and all, maybe they've known you during the time that you were dealing with something and they had never known that previously, and now they're looking back at it in a different way. Whereas if you tell it to a group of strangers, it's that's all you're presenting to them. They don't have a say in what it, it's, they're not emotionally connected.
Yeah, I'd echo that as well. I think some of my hardest conversations about mental health, both my own and other people's, have been when I was talking to my friends or family. Because when you care about someone, it's just inherently hard to hear about the things that they're dealing with if they are hard things to hear about. On the other hand, the idea of talking to an audience is also, the thing I think about a lot is high school is full of all of these boxes and these views that we want to have about people. We want to have really simple views about who other teenagers are and who our classmates are. And whenever you're hearing a personal story, it's messing with that, and that can be really hard as well.
So last time we talked, MHATS putting together a show at the Church of Love earlier this year, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then you were part of Sound of Silence just a month ago. What else have you been doing with the summer to get your message out here?
Yeah, so we had the opportunity this year we're doing two more MHATS sessions, so a fall session and a spring session. So we're going to have another show January 24th. But also we've had the opportunity to do a residential MHATS at North Star Behavioral Hospital. And that's meant a lot to me to see. And it's also been an important experience, I think, to have as a facilitator, I think, seeing people who are all along the spectrum of recovery and treatment.
So what, in your opinion, has been the biggest step so far?
I think for me, it was going on the radio for the first time before a big show. Because at the time, when I went on the radio, I had not much practice, but I felt pretty confident with my story, and it was the first time telling it to somebody outside of the group. And I didn't really realize how public it was until afterwards, when I got home and my mom was telling me how people had called her and told me how great I was and how they poured me on the radio. and how they quoted me on the radio. And it just became a lot more real, and it became a lot more real for me too about how many people we were reaching. And yeah.
Yeah, for me, the biggest step was like the fifth MHATS meeting where we actually broke out the first drafts of our stories. Because like the early MHATS group was people I knew in my personal life. And I think it was just like, I knew I was showing people a different side of my life, and that was really hard.
With all these public events you've been putting on and partnering with, what kind of responses are you seeing in the community?
Generally positive ones. I think that there are two kinds. Like, I've never actually had anyone say anything negative, which is amazing, and I'm so glad. I hope that continues. And it's either a general, like, I'm really glad you're talking about this. But the second kind of response we get is what is really meaningful to me. And that's people I know who say, like, hey, I know you do MHATS. I know you do this mental health thing. Here's what I'm going through right now. What can I do? Or do you have resources? And I think that the more visible the work we do has become among other teenagers or among the community, the more people are willing to speak out and become aware of their own mental health struggles.
Besides the benefits of sharing your stories, of your struggles publicly, how has having this group of people with a shared interest improved personal mental health?
So I originally joined MHATS just so on the poster that I saw it originally on, it said, improve your public speaking. And I thought, wow, I'm very bad at public speaking. That would be great. And so I joined with the thought of I didn't have any mental health story and I didn't really have anything to offer. But I think everybody has some issues, maybe not mental health illness or anything, but everybody has like some story that they could tell and offer, whether it was about themselves or like about like their experience. And I joined with that, and I was able to tell the group things that I haven't even told my closest friends or my family members. And it made me become a lot more informed.
Yeah, building off of that, the statistic we talk about all the time is 1 in 5 people have a diagnosable mental health condition at some point in their lives, and that number is actually a little bit higher for teenagers just because of the stage of life we're in. And so, I mean, it's higher in MHATS too because we're a self-selecting group. and so, like, that's been really cool to find that kind of community and to find spaces to talk about it. Also, it's been amazing for just, like, finding people who really care about this cause and really care about making sure people have access to resources, making sure we live in a kinder community when it comes to being a teenager. And that's nice too.
So what's the next step for MHATS?
So obviously we're doing a second MHATS right now, so show in January. I'm just going to keep plugging that, January 24th. We're doing a spring session. We're doing a North Star session. We also have people who were in MHATS last year who have graduated and gone to college, and they're starting like MHATS chapters on campus, which is so exciting for me. And we're also this spring in the legislature, there's two bills we're really focusing on and using our stories to helpfully get those passed. And one is about mental health education being mandated as part of like a middle school curriculum. And the second is creating a 3-digit hotline. So the same way you can dial 911 for a physical emergency, being able to dial some number for a mental health emergency.
So say someone was interested in your program and wanted to get involved or wanted to learn more, well, what would they have to do?
Well, first, they should come to the show on January 24th. and also, we do have a spring session, and if they wanted to get involved with that, they could, most definitely, they could, especially like younger people, we're looking for like a younger crowd right now, I guess. Maybe not seniors in high school who are about to leave so that it can continue going on. But really, just whoever, you could probably email us or you could also catch our Facebook page.
Yeah, our Facebook and Instagram is at mhatsak. In addition, we're working really hard on creating a digital story archive, which means that we would have a website that people can go to and find stories from StoryWorks, from our like, entries, and from our own recorded stories. And so anyone would be able to have like this giant archive of mental health stories to listen to.
Awesome, thank you. Well, that does it for my questions. Is there anything either one of you would like to add?
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
And they have a show in January.
Yeah, and we have a show, January 24th. Yeah. Oh, also take care of yourself.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, that about does it. Thank you for coming up here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.